Today on episode number 689 of the School of Podcasting, we're going to hear from Dr. Richard Schuster.
I have this desire that I wanted to do something grander, and I wanted to help people on a larger scale.
He does the Daily Helping Podcast, and I'm going to share a story about how I ended up hiding in the corner at FinCon. Hit it, ladies!
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005, I am your award-winning Hall of Fame podcast coach, Dave Jackson, thanking you so much for tuning in. This is where I help you massage your message. I help you tackle the technology, face your fears, and flatten the learning curve, and get you going in the right direction with your podcast. My website is schoolofpodcasting.com. Use the coupon code LISTENER, that's LISTENER, when you sign up for either a monthly or yearly subscription. And before we hear what might be the longest because of my podcast story ever with Dr. Richard Schuster, I want to tell you about the Focusrite 2i2. When people ask me about plugging microphones into a computer, I say, look, you have to go with a Scarlett. And they have a third generation that's out now. It's the world's best-selling USB interface. And they're kind of in the range of around 3 million units sold worldwide, and you can choose from 6 different interfaces. Do you need 1 input, 4 inputs, 8 microphones? Whatever you need, they've got you covered. And we're talking about superior sound quality that's really just going to make you sound so professional. It works with a recording software you're already using. It works with any type of XLR microphone. And they've even added loopback on select units that allows you to record Skype or Zoom calls directly into your recording software with no workarounds. And the third generation, they just keep making it better and better. They added this unique air feature that adds a little bit of brightness and presence to your voice. If you want to check it out, go out to schoolofpodcasting.com/689. I'll have a link where you can check out more. And thank you, Scarlett, for sponsoring the School of Podcasting. All right, so I'm bringing on Dr. Richard Schuster of the Daily Helping Podcast, not because he has a master's degree or he's a licensed clinical psychologist or the fact that he worked with the NFL at the Cleveland Clinic looking at like concussion-related items, or the fact that he's kind of a subspecialized in forensic neuropsychology and extensive experience working with physically and sexually abused children. That takes a special person right there. You know, I'm bringing him on because he has a mission to make the world a better place. And his show is kind of like a growing movement, and it's striving to get 1 million people each day to commit acts of kindness for others and then post it on their social media. His website is thedailyhelping.com. We'll let you hear about all the things that have happened to him because of his podcast. One of the things is he started a charity. With that, I will shut up and join me in having a conversation with Dr. Richard Schuster of the Daily Helping Podcast. And Dr. Richard from thedailyhelping.com, thanks for coming on the show.
David, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
And I heard about you through Matthew Passy, and he basically said, dude, if you want to, because of my podcast story, you got to talk to Dr. Richard. So Dr. Richard, I'm just going to open the floor. What's been going on in your life because of your podcast?
So my podcast is pretty much transformed every area of my life. And to give you a little bit of background, I'm a clinical psychologist. And so when I started my podcast, I was doing what I thought was going to be my dream job. I was going to an office, I was seeing my patients and helping people get better, which is really cool. And I'm proud of my opportunity to be in that role for as long as I did it. But I have this desire that I wanted to do something grander, and I wanted to help people on a larger scale. And I've been a big podcast fan. Probably the one that I listened to the most was Hal Elrod's show. Hal's amazing. And one day I just decided to go do this. And for those of you who have just started your podcast or are thinking about it, you know, it's kind of like doing karaoke for the whole world. It's a little unnerving, right? Like if you're good at it, it's awesome. But if you suck, the whole world, all your family and friends, everyone that's ever met you, went to high school with you, they're going to know how bad you are. And so I decided I was going to start this podcast. And so I just really was using like a Hotmail address. I didn't have a name for the show. I didn't have anything. And I just started emailing really well-known people. And most of them either didn't reply at all. In fact, probably 90% of them didn't reply. And those that did, probably 80% of those told me, no, who the hell are you? But a few said yes. And then I just got really confident and started this show where I wanted to have this mission that helps people commit acts of kindness and encourages people to commit acts of kindness every day, posted in their social media feeds using the hashtag MyDailyHelping, which is what became the name of the show, The Daily Helping. And the goal was, if we get people to do that, because I've stuck some neuroscience in the show, my doctoral dissertation was actually on the impact that technology, so Facebook, things like that, social media, have on personality functioning. And we've become really, really self-focused as a society more so than ever.
You think?
Just look around, right? Walk down the street and see how many people are not looking at oncoming traffic because they're tweeting, right? And taking selfies. So I know from a neurobiological standpoint that we are hardwired to feel just as good about ourselves if we help people as if we receive help. So that, you know, if you hook two people's brains up to real-time diagnostic imaging, sorry to get nerdy on you here, but if you did that and person A, you handed them $1,000 and person B handed somebody else $1,000 and you were looking to see what parts of their brains light up, it's the same areas. And so with that in mind, I snuck that neuroscience into my podcast because I want to get people used to helping people, committing these acts of kindness every day. And the research and the literature shows that when we help people, that there's all these really great things that happen to us in terms of our health, physical health, in terms of our emotional health. So let's all be happy. Let's all help people. So that's how I started the show. And as the show went on, and I actually got a domain and people started listening to it, it became easier to attract guests. And then the media got a hold of me a little bit and I started doing some stuff for NBC and I was in Cosmo and Men's Health and a lot of these mainstream media places, which backlinked to the website. So they'd say, you know, Dr. Richard Schuster from The Daily Helping, and then they'd hyperlink to it. And now all of a sudden I'm rising up in Google search algorithms and you know, everybody's happy and I'm having all kinds of fun. But what came out of all of that were a lot of unexpected things. Now, I thought this was going to be a side gig, and I didn't even really do it specifically because I wanted to make money. Now, my mission is to help people become the best versions of themselves, even if it's of no direct benefit to me. So, you know, I'm not charging for content, you know, through the podcast. Like, I wanted the podcast forever to be this free resource to help people. But then there were these surprise things that happened, and you know, I would get emails from people who started sharing their stories with me. And probably the most powerful one was a young man who emailed me the day after Thanksgiving, and this was back in 2017. And so I was privileged enough to have gone on EO Fire with JLD. And so this kid was literally on the verge of committing suicide. He had a gun, and he was getting ready to compose a suicide tweet. And shortly before he did that, like moments before he did that, my interview on EO Fire popped up in his Twitter feed. And for whatever reason, he clicked it and he put his gun down. And I found out all of this, you know, in this email, which as I'm reading it, tears are streaming down my face because I'm so overwhelmed by this kid's message. And he basically said that because of your podcast, I decided not to kill myself last night. And not only that, I want to start a podcast of my own where I help people with depression realize that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Reached back out to him and gave him some help in getting that off the ground. And now his life is totally different. And I didn't create the podcast to prevent a suicide. Like that was not on my radar, right? Like, right. But my God, like if that isn't the, you know, probably one of the greatest things I've ever been privileged to experience in my entire life. Yeah. And so, you know, it's, and I think that's what's so cool about this medium is that we don't really know, you know, that's obviously an extreme situation, right? And where I got direct feedback, but most of the time we have no idea the impact we're having on people. And, you know, whether you're a self-help podcast, whether you're, you know, creating a horror show, whatever it is, the podcast is bringing value to somebody and you may never know, but it's really cool to be in a place where we're bringing joy and help to other people. So that was probably the most profound single instance, I should say, that came out of my podcast. But there have been others. You know, the
Well, but before you get into another story, I want to back up on one thing, because you just kind of glossingly said, and then the media found me. Like, I got on NBC, and like, how does that happen? Did they just literally, you came up in a Google search, or did you know somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody that got you into Men's Health? Or
so what started happening, the best advice ever given to me was by a guest I had early on my show, and she went on the Today Show. And I said, well, how in the hell did you get on the Today Show? And she said, you know, I joined Haro. And I said, well, what is Haro? And so I would get up at 5 a.m. and I would start responding to these things. And so I was picked up in one very early on that was in the Huffington Post. And it listed me as one of the top new emerging podcasts, which was really cool.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, I was stunned by that. And what was also cool is I was able to, because that happened, reach out to the other 99 people on the list and say, hey, you know, we're both in the Huffington Post. Let's do an interview exchange. And I did that with about 8 of them, actually, because not all of them were right for my audience. But, you know, it gave me the right to reach out to all of them.
Sure.
If I wanted to. And so as that started happening, you know, like everything else, podcasting is about relationships. And so, you know, I took care of my journalists. You know, so I offered them, you know, let's do this. A lot of the journalists on Haro would want you to reply via email. And so I would reply via email. I would sometimes send little video clips. I would give them an opportunity to talk to me by phone. I had a pre-recorded script on, you know, how I wanted to be cited. And then I'd follow up with them and thank them and just express gratitude. And so what started happening was journalists were talking to other journalists. And then like Cosmo reached out to me, an editor at Cosmo. She's like, and I said, where did you come from? Because yeah, I didn't, you know, respond to that one on Haro. And then it was referred by a journalist who had done a Haro with me. And then like nice. Men's Health was the same thing. You know, and then, I mean, even recently, and I'm not doing Haro really anymore. I haven't for a while, but I was at Costco last Friday and NPR reached out to me. They said, hey, can we interview you today? I'm like, sure. So I said, you know, I've got some stuff. I got to get my kids their dinosaur nuggets and I'll be right home and we'll jump on. And so, but that's been really big, you know, because especially when you're starting out, you know, whatever. So, you know, I have a very unique pitch and I do have the letters in front of my name. And so, you know, there's some credibility that I know that I kind of have built in there because of my degrees. However, there's so many, everybody has expertise in something, or everybody can find something relatable to the content of their site, where if you get it into a public space, you add that social proof, because that's what people are looking for right away, you know, that social proof. So it started with Haro a little bit and then just kind of expanded on its own.
Nice.
NBC has interviewed me 3 times now.
Nice.
You know, and it was just because of that first one that I responded to, and then they just started reaching out. And then what happens is other publications will basically steal the content from the first place and repurpose it, but they'll still link to you. And so, and some of them were ridiculous articles. Like my favorite one that I did, bar none, was the Men's Health article, you know, and so, you know, of all the things that they wanted to ask me about, that this journalist was really interested and why guys think it's funny to get kicked in the nuts, to watch other people get kicked in the nuts. And so, you know, we talked about Jackass and we talked about neurons, and it was probably the most fun I've ever had, you know, with one of those things. But it's made a massive, massive difference for me, particularly as I've spun off other things out of the podcasting, like speaking and some other things I'm doing.
What else has been happening because of your podcast?
Well, as I alluded to, like I get to speak now in a lot of places, which I wouldn't have been able to do otherwise. You can try and get into that industry, but if you don't have some kind of a brand or something to hang your hat on, it becomes very difficult. So speaking is something that I've done. But there have been a couple other things that are really meaningful that directly drill back into my mission. One of which is it's enabled me to start a charity and spread it. And so anybody can start a charity. But if you don't have a platform to talk about it, then it's going to take you 20 years to build the charity. And so the kind of quick story behind this is my wife and I nearly lost our firstborn son. And when he was 31 weeks pregnant, she collapsed and was rushed to the hospital because she was in this tremendous debilitating pain. And so the doctor, they do all their tests, right? The ultrasounds, and they check everything out. And I was on my residency at the time. So I rushed to the other side of town where that hospital was. And the doctor comes out white as a ghost, like absolutely freaked out. Mm. And he says, I've got good news and bad news. And, you know, like that's worse than bad news, right? Like setting me up for something horrific. So the good news is the reason why my wife was in so much pain is because he was kicking the crap out of her sciatic nerve, which is horribly painful, but not dangerous to the baby and certainly not dangerous to the mother. And I believe my kid saved his own life. I think he was trying to let us know, you know, that, hey, get me out of here kind of thing. And so so that was the good news, that, you know, he was kicking her sciatic nerve and that's why she collapsed. The bad news was, and unbeknownst to us, she had a really tiny hole, like a pinhole size hole in her cervix, and she had been leaking amniotic fluid throughout the whole pregnancy. And what the doctor said was, had we not come in that day, he would have suffocated to death in utero within the next 12 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, I still, even just telling the story now, all these years later, I just get like chills, you know, thinking about how, what that moment was like. And so, long story short, my kid's okay. And today he's 6+. He's wonderful. You wouldn't look at him to know that he ever had any issues. But when he was born, because of all the problems he had, his head was misshapen. He didn't know he had a right side of his body for the first 6-8 months of his life, whatever the number was. He had so many delays and needed so much help. And we financially destroyed ourselves at the time fixing him. And so I wanted to create this charity. And what kind of happened was really funny. Like what the spark for the charity was came directly out of a podcast episode where Bob Berg from The Go Giver came on my show, who's an amazing guy. And he was probably my first really big guest. And when I first started my show, I was so self-conscious. And I would ask every guest, how do you think that went? What could I do better? You know, I was really nervous. Although, you know, if you go back and listen to them, I don't think you can hear the nerves. But I mean, I did them originally on Zencaster before Zoom. And there were some of these episodes where I was literally sweating during the recordings. I was so nervous. And I interviewed Bob Berg. And I asked Bob, so how do you think that went? And Bob said something along the lines of, and I've never told him this, I actually need to reach out and tell him this. He said, listen, you know, I do this kind of every day, and you're really gifted at what you do. And if you keep doing it, you're going to help a lot of people. And so for whatever reason, I don't know why, because he's in Eastern time zone as well. Like we recorded that one like 8 o'clock at night. So it was pretty late when I was done, and I run upstairs, like, bust down the bedroom door where my wife's reading. And I said, Bob Berg thinks I'm great. And she's like, well, who's Bob Berg? she doesn't read any help, self-help books like that. But I was so fired up, and I said, I really think this podcast is going to be successful. And I think that, you know, we're going to be able to eventually make a living doing it. And wouldn't it be amazing if we could take some revenue and give it back to our son's preschool and have them earmark that money for speech, physical, and occupational therapy. And I couldn't even finish the sentence, Dave. I froze. I got chills, and the little cartoon light bulb, so to speak, goes up over my head. And I just turned right back around and I ran downstairs and I got on my laptop and went to GoDaddy and I typed in Every Kid Rocks and the domain was available and I bought it. Nice. And then I immediately sent an email to my lawyer and said, I'm going to start a 501c3. And this is exactly what it's going to do. We're going to help schools. We're going to give money to schools so that they can use local providers within their own community for those kids that just need a push to reach their true potential, like my son did. And so I started it. And now I go on other people's podcasts and I tell that story in a little bit more detail. And we've gotten a ton of donations through the podcasting. And so again, here I have an international platform to leverage to help kids. Another thing that there's no universe I'd be where I am with Every Kid Rocks if not for the daily helping.
Yeah, that's one of those things where you can start a charity, but now you've got to get the word out. And that's where the podcast, that's awesome. I've always wondered about that because I've always said, because some people like the money thing, they just need to get the message out. And that's kind of in this situation. That's kind of what you're trying to do. It's like, look, we're trying to raise money for people because I've been here and you've got the personal side to it. That's awesome. That's a beautiful thing right there. So now you said you're trying to make a living with this. How long have you been doing the show?
2 years. Well, a little over 2 years. I think this next week is going to be like episode 113 or 14. I'm not quite sure.
And then you do what, one a week then?
I do one a week, and I named it The Daily Helping intentionally, thinking that one day I would roll it to 5 days a week.
Yeah.
I just got a lot on my plate otherwise, I'm enjoying the format. I may add a short form midweek episode recap or something, but I'm digging the 1 week right now. The feedback's been really strong, and it's so much fun for me. Now, of course, you know, when you have a podcast, it leads to other opportunities. So I think this is what you were asking me about making a living, right? So I have not really done much in the way of sponsorship, largely because it's about finding a product or service that fits the mission of my show. Mm. And I haven't really found what that is. You know, I tinkered around with Audible for about half a second and I'm like, it's still not the thing, right? You know, so it's, I don't know, like it's not, and I'm not going to be like, you know, Dave Asprey's show and have like supplements. Like that's not really the right thing for me either. So I haven't quite found what that sweet spot would be, and it's okay. But you know, it enabled me to have a coaching business. And I'm not really doing that so much anymore. What really has been the big thing for me is it enabled me to spread not only through my own platform, but for other podcasters as well as affiliates. One of the things I've been able to create, and I've been quietly working on this for nearly 2 years and recently launched it, was a psychological assessment company. And so now I have these tools, these internet-based tools that are self-scoring and algorithmically driven and really help people in a lot of different areas in life, that they're able to take them, and podcasters can be affiliates, and a number of them have already signed up to be affiliates. And so it's really cool because it's a value add for their audience. It's passive income for them. It actually helps people. You know, it's not selling Girl Scout cookies. You know, no offense to the Girl Scouts or Thin Mints, but we're actually selling things that make a radical difference in the lives of others. So again, it's totally on mission for me. But that's really become kind of one of my focuses. And what's really cool is, and I did this once in MS Paint, because I don't know how to use like flowcharting software. So I just kind of like drew this out, how all the different things that I'm playing with now cross-pollinate. So for example, if you donate to my charity, you get a thank you email from me with a link to The Daily Helping. And, you know, on The Daily Helping website, you know, through my email list, I'm often promoting my psychological assessment instruments. And so they all, same thing. And when I'm on stage, I talk about all of them. So everything that I'm doing at this point completely cross-pollinates with the other.
Yeah. And they're all about that mission of yours, which again is to, you know, basically help people become the best version of themselves. So they all kind of, it all ties in. If you had somebody come up to you and say, hey, I'm thinking of starting a podcast, what would be your advice looking back now on 2 years? Is there anything you go, oh, probably should have done that? Or any advice for the new podcaster?
The best advice given to me, and I'm going to repeat it here, was when I was getting ready to start the show, I was told not to launch without at least 12 episodes in the can. And the reason why I was told that was what starts happening is once you get into it, you have a particular message. You know, as I said in the beginning, I'm very clear about what my message is. And I'm also very particular about who comes on the show, because I don't want the guy who just made $300 million on my show.
And a boat.
And a boat and brags about it. I want the guy who's made $300 million and dedicates the rest of his life to giving it away. In fact, I had that guy. That was David Osborne, who wrote the book Wealth Can't Wait, one of the nicest people that I've ever had the privilege to meet. And so when you don't have a lot of episodes in the can, what you start doing is you start scrambling, and you, particularly if you're doing your own production, and then you might be in a position where you are so desperate for a guest that you'll compromise, and maybe you'll have a crappy guest, or their guest is just not on mission for you or on brand. And all of a sudden, as you're starting out, you're confusing your audience. I actually launched with 16 recorded, and it's always kept me. And I go, you know, through these periods where kind of like binging, you know, a season of Stranger Things, like I'll kind of put it down for a little bit and then focus on my assessments or speaking or the book I'm writing or some of these other things. And then I'll just get back in the swing and I'll spend a couple of weeks and I'll just, because people are always asking to come on. And, you know, I'm particular, like I said, I'm particular, but I have a list and then just start blasting out Calendly links. That's another thing I would recommend, is to use a calendar system like Calendly, because your guests, particularly if they're influencers, are not going to have the time to go back and forth with you and say, oh, well, what's good for you next Tuesday at 10? Like they or their executive assistant are going to click a link. And if you do that, then you, one, you look more professional, and two, you shorten the time that it's going to take them to get on your show. And three, you're going to reduce the risk of losing that really cool guest who's just too busy to start having a schedule negotiation with you.
How do you tell somebody no, you're not coming on the show?
It depends how they ask me to come on the show. Yeah. I try and be respectful and nice to everybody, and I hate telling people no, just because I just like don't like to crush people's feelings, yeah. Right? A lot of times people will reach out to me and they'll say, like, I'll never forget this guy, and he was so brazen, and he's like, you absolutely have to have me on your show. I am the top Java programmer. And I'm like, you know, with all due respect, I said, I love your confidence. I said, my audience is just not right for you. Yeah. And I just kind of referred them to iTunes and said, check out, you know, the top, you know, tech shows and see if you can get on there and maybe that will be good for you. A lot of times what I'll tell people, and this is the truth, I'm very mindful to not duplicate content. So if I had an expert on, say, mindfulness come on, and then a week later somebody else from mindfulness wants to come on, unless they have a really different approach to it, right, I'm gonna put the brakes on them and say, because you don't want to have the audience start thinking, oh, it's a mindfulness show, and confuse them. And so I'm really careful to not repeat my content. So if somebody comes on or somebody requests to come on, I'll say, you know what? I'm really grateful you reached out. This particular show, you know, I did an episode just like this not that long ago. If they're really nice about it, I might forward them on to a friend, you know, a fellow podcaster who, you know, might be able to use them. I mean, I think there's value in that. And I think what I really, one of the things I really like about the podcasting industry, and I spend a lot of time in corporate America, which, you know, if somebody could get an extra 0.25% out of you, they would kill your aunt, right? Like, it's so cutthroat. Yeah. And I'm sure you've experienced this, is that the podcasting industry, and I think partially because it's young, but partially just because of the makeup of it, like, we're all pretty much trying to help each other.
Yeah.
And like, I've never really faced people. I mean, there have been people who I've asked, hey, you know, can you help me get this person on my show? And these are people that are household names, and I've gotten no. And that's cool, you know, but it's not like, you know, if I don't want to refer somebody to you or vice versa because it's going to take away from my audience. I think Tim Ferriss talked about this, that in Tools of Titans, he gives away like everything he does. Because it's not a zero-sum game, were his exact words, that it doesn't matter. You know, somebody can listen to your podcast and my podcast, and it's not like, you know, where we're competing with network ratings, like on, you know, like on ABC and CBS and Fox. It doesn't work that way. So I think that's another reason why people are so willing to be helpful. Another piece of advice that was really big for me is start getting involved in these podcast conferences. So this will be my second year at Podcast Movement. I really love Podfest Expo. Those guys do a phenomenal job, and they're a little bit different in terms of their vibes, but I think they're both valuable. And those are, I mean, there's 100 podcast cons, right? Like, those are just two that are top of mind. But
what's the benefit for the person that goes, I don't know, it's a lot of money and it's time. Like, what's been your biggest benefit from going to those conferences?
So the learning, for sure, particularly if you're new, unless you have a production team doing this for you and a marketing team, you know, that are running your socials and doing all these things, there are so many elements of podcasting that are so crazy. And so to go and get the technical expertise from the top people in the field is really valuable. So if you're, you know, a one man shop and you're doing this, that's something that's really cool. Plus you get to hear from who are the people who are winning? Who are the people who are really succeeding in that space? And what are they doing right? Because one of the things that's so challenging about podcasting by nature is one of the most isolative businesses you could ever be in. And so when I went to Podcast Movement for the first time in 2018, that was really the first opportunity for me to get direct feedback from my peers, people in my space. I remember standing around and with a bunch of people who since have been on my show, but at the time, none of them had been on my show. And I'm passing out my cards and I'm talking about what I'm doing and my stuff. And somebody who is really established and successful grabs my card and he looks at it and he flips it over and he looks at it and he's like, wow, man, your branding is so tight. And it's like, well, cool, man. Thank you. But you don't know, right? Like, yeah. You know, you don't get that direct feedback. And it obviously that the part that goes without saying is you're going to find if you're looking for guests, you don't have to look very far. So,
and you know, the nice thing about that is that whole room is people that actually have a microphone. They're not going to try to do an interview on their laptop microphone with the air conditioning on in the background.
That's right. That's absolutely right. You're going to get that. And then you get to wander around the exhibit hall and you get to see all the new stuff and all the new hardware. That's fantastic. And play with it. There were some mixers that I saw at PodFest Expo that just blew my mind that were so cool with all the features they had on them. And and then it becomes like almost like a family reunion. So this will be kind of my third show that I'm going to. And there's a ton of people that I've just been reaching out to that I just can't wait to see again. I don't really go to these things with an agenda. You know, I just want to be and be there and add value. But every time I've gone to something like that, I've come away with probably 20, 25 interviews.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it's summer camp. I've gone to, this will be my fifth podcast movement. I've been to every PodFest except the very first one. And it's a great time. So Dr. Richard, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show again. Everybody, if you want to check out those assessments, go over to seekyourpowers.com. And if you want to check out his podcast, it's at thedailyhelping.com. So Dr. Richard, thank you so much for your time.
It was great being on here. I had a lot of fun. Thanks, Dave.
One of the things I really liked about Dr. Richard's story is he started where he was at. He didn't wait till he spent thousands of dollars on equipment. He started where he was at. I thought that was really cool. And obviously, the story of the guy that wanted to commit suicide is really moving. And I know a handful of people now, including myself, where that has been the case. They've actually can say, yes, I saved somebody's life because of my podcast. And what I'm doing right now is I'm recording this on my stairwell in my apartment using my phone, showing you that this doesn't sound that bad. I'm using my actual Apple earbuds microphone. And so you can start your podcast right where you're at. I now return you to your regularly scheduled $300 microphone.
One of the thing about Dr. Richard is I love the fact that he has a mission. His mission is to make the world a better place. His goal is to get 1 million people each day to commit acts of kindness. And he uses that as a barometer when he goes to create content that is relevant. Think about that. I think that's one of the keys of great content. I was talking with Daniel J. Lewis. I interviewed him for my book, Profit from Your Podcast. I'm handing that over to the publisher. I have no idea what they're going to do besides, you know, clean it up and put a shine on it and a cover. I have no idea how long that's going to take. I'll keep you posted on that. But Daniel and I had a conversation on how important relevance is to a podcast and to it being successful. And that includes things like sponsors. Like I have Focusrite as a sponsor. Why? Because I use that product. Why? Because it fits this audience. If somebody asks me, I need to plug two microphones into my computer, I'm going to go easy, Scarlett 2i2. And so that's relevant. It's also honest in this case. That is an actual honest recommendation. And it's relevant. And I love the fact that Dr. Richard has that mission. I love the fact that he has a goal because that helps him pick content. And I think when you have relevant information, it then resonates with your audience. And so speaking of resonating with your audience, I'm trying something different today. And that is, I have bonus content on the website, schoolofpodcasting.com/689. And what it is Dr. Richard and I kind of got off topic a little bit. Our conversation went on. He's a really great guy. But there was a conversation that I wanted to give you access to. And he talks about an assessment tool that he has, that he designed, and it's different from Myers-Briggs. And he kind of talks about how he is putting people's lives over profits. He could be making a whole lot more money with this test. It's at seekyourpowers.com. And if you go out to schoolofpodcasting.com/689, you can hear Dr. Richard talk a little more about this tool and about more brain stuff, for lack of a better phrase. I want to share with you something here. It sounds a little weird. And that is, how did I end up hiding in a corner at FinCon? Well, I was asked to speak at FinCon, which is a, as you might imagine, a financial conference. And it's for, you know, financial bloggers, financial podcasters, so people that are helping you with finances and things like that. And then what was cool is that conference left and the military influencer conference moved in. And I was at the same hotel. I had a great time and I got more clients from that 1 week than any other conference. Now, how is that? It's kind of easy when I think about it. FinCon, financial planners, those people have a budget. Those people have money to spend on, hey, I'm going into this podcasting thing. I don't know where to go. I'm going to hire you to show me. And then I need somebody to edit my show. And I go, oh, well, that's easy. Go hire Steve Stewart, because that Steve is like Cher in the financial world over there, or Liberace. Like, people would say things like, oh, that's a question for Steve. And everybody knew that was Steve Stewart from stevestewart.me. He's very entrenched in that conference. That was really, really cool. The military conference, those people are disciplined, they're focused, and they're not afraid to march into areas or situations that they've never been in before. And so that's another great combination of people that are willing to jump into podcasting. The other thing, though, just to take a quick tangent here, the thing that surprised me, when I heard I was going to a military conference, I expected broad shoulders and short-haired dudes. And it was easily, if not more, 70% or more people, and they were all women. Yep, I was like, what? And here's the reason why. Many of these were spouses of people in the military. And these are people that for years climbed the corporate ladder and then have to throw it all away because so-and-so got deployed someplace else. And they figured out, if I can get a job, if I can sell my services on the internet, when I move, it doesn't disrupt my corporate life, even though it's not really corporate, my job. It doesn't interrupt my job. It doesn't dismantle all the work I've done up to this point. And these were some amazing women. So ladies, kudos to you for having the courage to stand up and do what you do and have that mission and to have that goal, just like Dr. Richard. And so the interesting thing, and by interesting, I mean like really hard for me, the thing that was hard was having conversations with people that I just couldn't jump into. When I go to Podcast Movement or PodFest or DC PodFest or anything, here a pod, there a pod, anywhere a PodCon, whatever, I can jump into any conversation pretty much and be pretty comfortable, even though I'm somewhat shy. Now I go to these financial people and they're talking about Monte Carlo simulations. I'm talking to military people and they have so much jargon. It's like, oh, I tried this one time with my A1 and he wouldn't do the Red 7. And that's before you got to the protocol to do the G7. And I'm like, what? I have no idea what any of these people are saying. And so every night, this is not just a podcast movement thing. They would have these networking events with really loud music, because apparently that's what people do. Because when people want to talk, hey, let's make them scream over loud music. And this was at every conference. The last night at the Military Influencer Conference was beyond loud. It was like, wow, this is, I feel like I'm at a Metallica concert. It was kind of silly that way. And I was at a dinner for speakers. Now, this is towards the end of the week. And so I've kind of like, I'm a little networked out at this point. And I went in, there was this like dinner, and I got, here's the other thing with hotel food. They try to make it, for lack of a better phrase, what I would call frou-frou, and they just smear avocado on everything. And I'm like, can I just get a burger? And I got my frou-frou food, and just picture this crowd of, I don't know, a couple hundred people to the right. I got as far left as I could and sat down, because I was kind of tired, and I was, again, way out of my element, kind of worried that I, you know, I'm not going to be able to jump into a conversation over there. And I just looked at myself and I said, wait a minute. If anyone is going to benefit from a podcast in this conference, it's probably a speaker. Because if you're a speaker, you got to have some sort of following or some, there's some reason why you were able to speak at this conference and other people were not. And so I walked over and I did my best to jump into these conversations, and they were nice people, and they would eventually try to pull me in, because it's just kind of awkward when some guy just walks up and starts watching you talk. And I kind of felt like that kid trying to jump into a double Dutch jump rope. I mean, you're looking for the best place to kind of jump in, but you're kind of scared. You're pretty sure you're going to fall on your face. And that's exactly how I felt. And so I say this to let you know that I know it's scary. I say this to let you know that, yeah, it's a bit overwhelming. I hear that word a lot with podcasting. I don't know. It's so overwhelming, because you're doing something you've never done and you're not sure where to jump in. And I understand the fear of the unknown. That is absolutely real. But I was able to pull myself up, and I can help pull you up as well. And I can tell you exactly where to jump in into the jump rope of podcasting. And I would love to help you do that. Go over to schoolofpodcasting.com/start. Use the coupon code LISTENER, that's LISTENER, and sign up for either a monthly or yearly subscription. But the other thing I want to give a shout out to is Captain Bob from Coming Home Well. This is a show for not so much military people, but for civilians who now have a military person coming home and how to deal with that. And as I write this book, Profit from Your Podcast, one thing comes up over and over and over. It is about relationships. It's about delivering value to your audience, and it's about relationships. And I met Captain Bob at DC Podfest a couple years ago, and he knew I was there and saw where people were making meetups, and he made a podcast meetup and said, hey, Dave, I made a meetup for you. And I was like, oh, wow, that's, wow, really? Seriously? Wow, that's so nice of you. And so on Friday, we met up at the hotel restaurant. He sat me at the head of the table, and people just asked me podcast questions all night. And I was kind of back in my, I'm back talking about the topic that I want to talk about. So thank you, Captain Bob. I'll put a link out in the show notes to his show at schoolofpodcasting.com/689. And speaking of being in places where I'm going to feel awkward talking, I will be at She Podcast Live. I'll be working the Libsyn booth. That is October 11th through the 13th in Atlanta, Georgia. I will then be in Youngstown, Ohio. That's in my neighborhood, kind of. I live in Akron, Ohio. And that is October 17th through the 18th at the DOYO Live. It's a marketing conference. I'll be speaking at that. And then I will be speaking at DC Podfest. That is back in Washington, D.C. That is November 1st through the 2nd. And if you are looking for someone to come talk about podcasting at an event or to your company or to your online meetup, please reach out to me, schoolofpodcasting.com/contact. I would love to do that. And of course, if you're in Ohio, check out neohiopodcasters.com. That is the Northeast Ohio Podcasters Meetup. We meet on the third Monday of the month. Thanks so much for tuning in. Also, one last reminder as we listen to this, you are getting this on the 23rd, which means you have a week to sign up out at podcastreviewshow.com. This is a service I offer with myself and Eric K. Johnson. He's the podcast talent coach. That guy has decades in radio. And we go over every single inch of your podcast and tell you what you're doing right. And maybe here's some things that you could do just a little better. I will let you know the price is doubling on that. It's $99. And so it's going up to $200 here in October. And I am letting you know that there are people that are taking advantage of that. So feel free to sign up, lock in that price, but there is a bit of a line forming here to get your podcast reviewed. But if you want that price, go over to podcastreviewshow.com and sign up before October 1st. Thanks so much. Until next week, class is dismissed. Take care and God bless. Dr. Richard, I want to thank you so much. I'm going to do that again because that was sounded like I was drunk. Dr. Richard, we're going to do without laughing.